Those of you who are not familiar with Baptist missions, let me just remind you of where we're working and what we're doing. There are approximately 100 people involved in Baptist mission work, including a number of the national workers and families, which is a phenomenal number of people from a relatively small group of churches. And while our aims are very specific, it's really our expression of response to the Great Commission to go to all nations, to make disciples. And it certainly doesn't stop at the geographical limits of these countries. I believe we ought to be a group of churches that are passionate about mission, that has mission right at the core of who we are. And therefore, this month, 5 days ago, at the beginning of Ramadan, we should be people who are switched on to what's happening in the Muslim world, perhaps one of the greatest mission challenges facing us today, where for 30 days almost 1 billion people will be praying 5 times a day, fasting right through the day, seeking to know God in some measure, and yet locked in darkness and sin. And so as we think about our specific areas of responsibility, let's see it as part of that greater obedience to the ends of the earth. I'm sure that much of this does not need introduced here in Lisburn Baptist, but those are the geographical areas that we're working in. And the aims are twofold: church planting and evangelism. It's very good, I think, to remind ourselves of what our aims are each year, to stop and say, are we seeing people evangelized? Are we seeing churches planted? And here are a list of the names of most of the workers. The text is a bit small. I hope you can see it at the back, because it is going to be a quiz. I'm going to ask you for alphabetical lists of all of these workers' names before we leave tonight. I see a few smiles, so hopefully you've got the message that it's a joke. If you find that you're overwhelmed with information tonight and you just see that list of names and hear all this news, can I encourage you just to relax? Don't feel like you've got to take it all in. If there's one specific aspect of this work that you get an interest in tonight and decide for the next period of time to pray about that work, to find out more about it, to take it on your heart, then that would be wonderful. And if your broad vision of the work is extended, then that would be good too. But let's begin this tour in Spain, in the most southern tip of that country, in the city of Alcaceres, where Ruth and Andrew Reid have been working since July last year. And it was at that point that they were inducted into the ministry of that church, a church facing almost certain closure after 140 years of ministry in a very strategic location. This city of Alcaceres has about 100,000 people. It's looking right across the Straits of Gibraltar to North Africa. You can see the hills in North Africa from Ruth and Andrew's window, kitchen window. It's obviously an entry point, therefore, for literally hundreds of thousands who transit through Alcaceres every year, coming up from North Africa into Europe, a city with a very strong indigenous Muslim population, as well as this massive transit of people, often looking for something new, open for new changes, coming to Europe, going away from traditions and families and constraints, and open to the gospel. And we have seen through this ministry quite a number of Muslims in the last year who have been contacted, and some who have come to faith. Here's the little church, which meets in a very inappropriate little building. It's cramped, it's decaying, but within that there really is a turnaround, and things are beginning to happen. Right from that first service on the 11th of July last year, when the Reeds were inducted, it seems that the Lord was bringing circumstances together that revealed that this was a new start, and that something new was happening in this place. Another family came down from Madrid. It was their first week in that city. They just moved, and they were a family of believers, and they came along to the church the same Sunday, and decided that was going to be their spiritual home. In fact, it turned out that Ruth's grandfather, CEF worker, years ago had led one of the couple to the Lord. And they were a wonderful evangelistic asset in this church, this little church getting back on its feet. The wife in that family just gossiped the gospel everywhere she went, across the fence to her neighbour, Maria, a woman who was interested and curious and wanted to find out more and started to read the Bible. And the little group in the church were praying for Maria, praying for her husband, Paco. And Paco was not at all impressed. And he said, "There's no way you're going to that church." And someone who had no experience of Christians was probably wisely skeptical to start with. But the church prayed for him as well and prayed that the Lord would work in his heart. And so just two Sundays later, Paco decided, right, we're going to church, we're going to find out what this is all about. And the Lord spoke to him and he was converted. And the daughter seemed to make a response of faith as well. And there has been almost household salvation. It's not just a nuclear family like a lot of Andalusian families. People just come through all the time, stay for a while. In the summer team, just a few weeks ago, one of the cousins came and stayed and got dragged into these unusual meetings that were taking place on the beach. He too became a Christian, Juan. And others in the family have come to faith. And like that, many, many others in the last year have made professions of faith. And that's been the story in Alcaceres. And there's a lot to give thanks for. But like so much of Europe, there's all these signs and symbols and buildings of a Christian past, a memory that's lodged away back there, and yet no reality, no understanding. And we're praying that Andrew won't just be the pastor of this little church, but the Lord will move in that area, and we'll see a church planting team move out from there to impact the whole of that southern part of Spain, which is so needy. And so give thanks for that work, and I might mention a bit more of it later. But moving further north in Europe, the story is very different. Andrew Reid would say that responses in southern Europe seem to come very freely. People are open, and people make professions of faith, and he's certainly not counting heads until they really do become disciples of Jesus Christ and show fruit in their lives. But certainly there's a movement of God there. And yet, further north in France, it is hard. It's slower. And yet, we praise God for Andrew and Delwyn connected with this church and faithfully serving in Château-Thierry, where a little group there have again seen at least one person every year for the last number of years come to faith in Christ. One of the features of that little church has been that as folk come and they are converted and they're added to the church for either family, personal reasons or work reasons, they soon have to move on, like lots of rural parts of southern Ireland. And the church grows for a little bit and then they lose some of that new life off to other places. And Andrew has been praying for a co-worker, a very interesting development in the work there. And perhaps an unexpected answer to prayer has been what's been happening over the summer. If you get Mission Line, you'll have read about an unusual association with the Pentecostal group in this town of Château-Thierry. And just about a year and a half ago, or 2 years ago, Andrew had been meeting with the pastor, a good man, Pascal, in that little town, and talking about how they could perhaps help one another. And Andrew had a vision for moving out into further church planting work and teaching ministry. And he thought maybe Pascal could look after this little group of believers. Well, last Christmas, Pascal called him up and said, "Andrew, I'm leaving." And Andrew said, "Well, who's going to come in your place?" And he said, "Sorry, the AOG church have decided there's nobody else and the church is going to close. What about you taking on the believers there?" And so over the last 6 months, Andrew has been taking the group through very clear presentations of who they are as a Baptist church. And making the offer available if folk want to come and join them. And over the summer, they've been meeting together. Some may have gone off to different places, but the nucleus of that group have now joined the Shadow Teary group. And they're really seeing more gifts being used as extra people are coming on board, and there's extra folk to handle some of the responsibilities in church. Andrew still has a desire to move out to another area called Farmoutier, and he's just praying about the possibilities of church planting there as well, but desperately needing help. The situation in France fits very well in terms of the statistics of evangelicals into the most needy parts of the 10-40 window. You know, that area, 10 degrees to 40 degrees north of the equator, where there's so much need. If you just think of the statistics in this area, it is largely an unreached, unevangelized area just across the channel. Wouldn't be that easy going to Sunday school when you're on your own. But that's the story for Luke. And as we think about this area that is so difficult to penetrate, an area that agriculturally is so wealthy, we're conscious that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are so few. 500,000 people in that department. At the very most, Andrew would reckon there's 10 small evangelical churches, maybe 500 believers. 0.1% evangelical, just across the channel from us. Pray about this work. Pray for Andrew. Pray that he would not grow weary. He's encouraged at what's happening over the last few months. But do pray that there would really be a harvest, and that there would be harvesters, workers, to help in that needy land. Well, if you can change gear again and come closer to home, looking at the work in Ireland, it's largely church planting right round this island, where we have workers in Belfast, now in South Armagh in Dublin, right round to Cork and Kerry, Killarney, moving up through the Midlands towards Athlone. You have North Tipperary and then out to Galway, as well as work in Longford and Leitrim. Let me tell you about one or two of the opportunities there where exciting moves in church planting are taking place. And Craig and Heather Maiden are involved in a work in Ballycullen, a huge area outside the M50 in Dublin. Firhouse and Ballycullen, massive new estates. And Baptist Missions have partnered with Grosvenor Baptist Church to see this work develop over the last 4 or 5 years. And at the beginning of last year, a group stood at the front of the church and were commissioned to begin this work in Ballycullen. A little bit of the history there. The workers have been moving into the estates, knocking doors, running basketball, coaching classes, getting into the community, getting known, and calling the folk from the church, from Grosvenor, to join them in this evangelistic effort. And the response has been there. It's been wonderful. One lady was very enthusiastic about what the young people were doing, and she was praying for them and saying, "Oh, it's great. I'll support you all the way." And she came as they were going round the doors and knocked the doors with them. And she said, "Well, it's great. We'll support you all the way, but it's not for me. I'm a Grosvenor person. I've been here 67 years. I'm not leaving." She joined the group at the front last January. And she was saying the thing that turned her in her thinking about Ballycullen was, as she was visiting, initially it was young professional couples moving into that area. But as the years went on, she began to notice little shoes on the doorstep. The shoes of children who were born into those homes, who were growing up with little or no contact with the gospel. And the Lord said to her, "Who's going to reach the children?" And in her later years in life, she decided that she should be part of the answer and join that group. And it's interesting just to see what God is doing there in that community centre Sunday after Sunday, and midweek activities. Just one example is a Christianity Explored course that they really wanted to run in the adult education programme as part of the Fair House Community Centre. They have a curriculum where you can sign up for all sorts of courses, and they thought, wouldn't it be great to have Christianity Explored running as part of that course, set of courses. So they did, they lobbied, they asked, they presented the information, they put in a proposal, and the people directing that said, yeah, run your course, we'll allow you to put it in our brochure, which was great, except nobody came, and they were disappointed and felt, well, we've just got to do this another way. And they really do feel challenged about being a community church. And so they thought, what we really need is a home in the community, not a home of Christians who are associated with this group. And they went to the parents of a couple of young guys who had been coming, parents who initially were quite skeptical as well. And they said, look, we'll run this course. Would you host it? Bring your friends and we'll put it on. And that's what they did. And as they pushed the doors opened. First night, one boy came along, huge book under his arm, a teenager, and he said he was really fascinated to find out about this spiritual stuff because he was into witchcraft and Wicca and all sorts of black magic stuff. And that was what his thing was. And yet for the following 10 weeks, he studied Mark's gospel and encountered Jesus as he walked off the pages of Scripture. And I think for us, well, it's good, it's encouraging. There's a lot of good stories, but there's also a challenge just to see how a church like Grosvenor decided to send 60 people away to start something new. And I think about my church, Windsor, packed to the doors. I think about Lisburn Baptist, filled with resources, many other churches. And maybe we in the north need to learn a lesson about mission from our brothers and sisters in the Republic, where the Lord is at work. And I think that there are lessons for us in terms of church planting and keeping mission right at the heart of who we are. Well, the Cork Project, as it was known, Cork Kerry Project now, is an ever-expanding project, and a very fruitful one, where 5 churches are now in existence, and the workers there are primarily moving out from existing churches into new areas. Each of the workers is sponsored by one of the Baptist churches in the Cork Kerry area, and they are seeking to plant something new. One of the workers, Brendan, is just moving house in the next number of months to Youghal, and has a real burden for that town where there's currently no evangelical witness at all. And they're looking at the community centre as a possible meeting place. He has a radio programme, and they're just pushing all sorts of doors to see what God will do in Youghal. Brendan had been working in Conceal, a very difficult, resistant town. He then switched focus to Clonakilty, and again, there seems to have been no real opening. He's now beginning to think, where next? And yet, the Lord is at work, building his church in that area. And there's a lot to be thankful for, but it's an area that needs prayer. They're at full stretch because there has been growth, but they need more help. And some of the senior people there who carry a lot of responsibility have just had enough and needed to take a back seat for a while to be restored and refreshed in the ministry. So please do pray for the Cork and Kerry project. There's a work in Killarney that Ted Kelly has been looking after and caring for, a little group who are growing. They have evangelistic zeal. They've been running all sorts of things in the town of Killarney, Tear Fund, Craft Fair. They're going to do another one just before Christmas. And they have really got to a point where they would like full-time workers to assist them to build that work and see a real church planted. There's a couple who are interested, an American couple who have come to partner with the churches in Cork, and we're interested just to see if that's going to develop. Well, moving up through the Midlands, there's another church planting story in Nina, and Matt and Jules Tuttleby have been working there initially part-time, and for the last number of months they have been full-time, a work that's again beginning to take off. Matt plays football with the local football club. Jules runs the parent and toddler group in the town. As they have become known, people have shown an interest. They just again push all sorts of doors, radio, newspapers. The newspaper refused to publish anything about this work for a long time. Matt kept coming with his little submission saying, please would you put something in the newspaper about this exciting work. And something happened last year, when one of the reporters picked up on the fact that Matt was a builder and he was involved in church planting and thought there would be an interesting story. And he went to Matt and said, can I write a story for our newspaper about the work you're doing? Full page about the work in Nina. He wrote such a glowing report about this work. It was embarrassing. Matt's phone number at the end, he had a series of phone calls wanting to find out about the Bible studies and the work that was going on. Several people came. One lady on her first night came, sat down and looked at the group and said, I'm not a Christian yet. Isn't that a wonderful introduction? She was open. Her daughter was a Christian. And Matt thinks in the last few months that she too has come to faith. And again, you can see that the Lord is building his church. It's small, it's fragile, it needs a lot of prayer and support, but advances are being made. And you can see that just in other places as well. Galway, where the Lord has called a couple of couples from North America to come and work under CBI in partnership with Baptist missions in that area. And Athlone, an area that has been, again, a long, slow work. Two steps forward, one step back. But last Saturday, you might recognize Pastor Colville there shaking hands with Dominic and Carol at the constitution of the Athlone Baptist Church. And 20 people signed as the core group of that, foundation members of that new church that's just come into being. A church with an opportunity to impact a town of 23,000 people. An area right around it with 35-mile radius of Athlone, there are 300,000 people. It's no longer just a remote rural location. A strategic place for a vibrant church. Well, I feel like I'm going to run out of time if I go at this pace, so I'll just very quickly mention a few other situations. Tim Coyle working in Longford and Leitrim, very often running Bible studies for groups of people, meeting folks on the doors. A work in Donegal that has been going for 10 years, initially under the leadership of Sam Devine when he moved to Limerick. Andy Coulter took over. They just don't have enough resources at the minute to keep going, and they're really in need of church planters. Andy and Kathy have moved back to Belfast. There's a little group that are still trying to meet together on Sunday, but they're being cared for by the Castle Derg Church. Would you pray for church planters for Donegal? We really would love to see the work that's been done built upon. We don't want to see that effort lost, and we're just thinking and praying about who the Lord might raise up for Donegal. Experienced people with a determination and a call to church planting. Then coming closer to home, there's this project that Derek Baxter would say was probably the biggest challenge for Baptist missions. Reaching into Belfast. As we come together as a group of 11 churches for fellowship and seek to reach out together in witness. We really do believe that the role of Baptists in Belfast is not yet finished. And long to see a new work in churches where the surrounding population have disappeared, and yet new needs are now present. And as you just look at Belfast, even from the doorsteps of the churches, you see a very interesting, very different mission field right beside us. And I invite you just to look at Belfast in a fresh way. What does it look like standing on the doorstep of Antrim Road, seeing the Simon community, the need in the community that just passes those doors by, and frankly never think of looking at the church for an answer? Just round the corner in Ballygomartin, another area that knows all about paramilitary control. Likewise, Clifton Park, and it's the same in East Belfast. You can't see that view now because of the new Iron Hall, but there is still that loyalist influence and grip on that community. And the Albert Bridge Road was devastated, as you know from your televisions, just a few weeks ago in an area that so much needs the gospel in Belfast. Or in East Belfast, where people are just so busy and they would not think of looking at the church because of their own comforts and prosperity. So would you pray for Rib? Pray for workers? Pray for us as churches to have a real vision to work together and to see the Lord doing something new in Belfast. We are grateful for all that has happened, but there's so much more still to do. In 1999, there were 14 churches that showed decline out of 16 surveyed. Just 5 years later, there are 5 churches that are beginning to show an increase in membership, but 9 continued to decline by a further 19%. We need the Lord to work in Belfast. There are some encouraging signs of what God is doing, like in Ballygomartin, where this almost empty building a while ago is now filled, especially on a Thursday night, with the Awana Club, where children are coming and learning about the gospel and learning about love and learning about life. And it's just wonderful to see the vision that's emerging there for a new church, where on its perimeter very many new homes are about to be built, and the present prefabricated structure is inappropriate to meet the needs for tomorrow. Well, finally, if you haven't run out of breath, we're going to take a hop into the Southern Hemisphere to visit the work in Peru, where we have Irish Baptist missionaries working alongside national workers. And I'll not take time to introduce them all, but let me just highlight some of the key aspects of this work. And it's primarily about church planting. Church planting in some cases in very difficult circumstances. Like here in Connoisseur, there's the Baptist church right in the middle of this. You mightn't even call it a shanty town, but it is actually homes where people are living. These straw huts where a family of 4 or 6 might be huddled together. And yet, some of them coming out on a Sunday morning or to another church meeting, dressed just like you and I. They would fit perfectly well here in Lisburn Baptist Church on a Sunday evening, looking like $1 million. The same aspirations. Many of them are running away from problems, running away from disasters, maybe earthquakes where their old house fell down, or debts that they couldn't pay, and they start afresh. And it's here where they're looking for new life and new hope. I asked Alec Campbell before he left, did he think that people were open to the gospel? He said, people here, on the whole, can't afford morality. Getting food on the table for their children may drive them to desperate measures. If somebody else has it and you don't, then you've just got to go and get it. And he said they can't afford morality. And yet the Lord is at work and he's moving in people's lives. The whole challenge of church planting here seems like working within a yard of hell. You know that famous quote, some seek to live within sound of church or chapel bell. I'd rather run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. Well, the posters for some of the districts may promise a lot, but life for many people in Peru doesn't actually deliver all that much. And yet the Lord is at work. And just in another part of the district, further north, is the Baptist Training Center, the seminary, where leaders are being equipped for ministry. 116 students matriculated this year. There are over 120 who come on a Monday night from the district to the Bible Hour. Ken and Jeannie have seen something quite remarkable established in the last number of years. They have other spin-offs from this, as well as the Bible Hour. There's the radio program, which is hopefully going to come on stream early next year. A building has now been completed, an administrator appointed. It's not going to be called DJ Andy's Radio for Peru. That's Baptist Youth's spin on the subject as part of the support raising efforts. But it is potentially going to be one of the most exciting ways of evangelizing and teaching in a district where, as I said this morning, people are vulnerable to all sorts of nonsense that's peddled under the name of the gospel. And so would you pray for a license? It's proving elusive. We're maybe impatient, and we believe the Lord's time will be right. But that's the one big hold-up right now for this work. Another huge project is the Camp and Conference Center in Ite, where Trevor and Christine have been getting a group together. They've appointed a board. They now have a property that's closed off. I would say it's probably a half a mile to walk around just the perimeter wall. That picture doesn't do justice to the size. And the potential for this is enormous. I'll not take time now to say more about it. But it will serve not just the Ilo and Ite area, it will serve the churches right around the coastal district, as well as perhaps even some from the Sierra, where there's another whole challenge altogether, the challenge of teaching and training pastors and leaders there. And the SAD program is doing just that under Charlie Anderson's ministry. It doesn't sound quite as desperate as the name implies, but Seminario a Distancia is really a theological education by extension program where the aim is to have 3 or 4 centres in higher altitude areas where people cannot leave their farms or their homes and come down to the coast to study. And yet the need that pastors are crying out for is training. And this, again, holds huge potential for the future in a wonderful part of the world. And so I think I'll just finish there with a few shots of Peru, a country that may look idyllic on the postcard pictures, but in much of the Aymara districts in the mountains, people are beginning to get very restless. Lima is too far away. They're not cared for. They don't feel like they have any say in society. And as we were going to that opening of the Samuel Sloan Center last year, this riot broke out that ended up in the mayor being killed in Ilave town. And so it's an area where the light of the gospel is desperately needed to penetrate. So would you join with us in praying for this ministry? I know that many of you have been faithful right through the years in praying for work that other people have done in the past, right up to today. But can I say to the younger people who are here tonight, the supporters of Baptist missions will not live forever. We need you to be part of this team. And so I'd love to encourage you to get involved. If you want to find out more about how you can play an active part in prayer, in giving, in going, then please do talk to me afterwards. I mentioned the cake. There it is. If you were here this morning, you heard about the cake that travelled by truck. But this little gospel tract printed in Belfast, I think, represents something of the nature of ministry in that faraway land, where the gospel of Jesus Christ, the light of the world, is shining. Thanks be to God for how he has used Irish Baptists. And may he continue to answer the prayers of many people, like this old lady, that more people will come and that God will pour out a blessing in a future day as well as in a past.